Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you, and are hopeful the things that we share with you will be a help to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Scriptures. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions. The number to call is 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. We do have a text line, so if you would like to send in your questions via text, you can go ahead and text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. We place a tremendous amount of focus on the Word of God, as it is written, by provided to us by way of the Holy Spirit. It was God's intent that it would provide for us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. It's interesting that Paul, in writing to the Ephesians there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, refers to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. And so this is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to work on our hearts. And so if we would want to know what God has to say, we have to go to His Word every time. We have to let the Spirit speak. And so the way we do that is by letting the Bible speak. If you have a question today and you want to hear what the Word of God has to say on it, then give us a call. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-9564.
We want you to know that now's the opportunity to call. Many times before the end of the broadcast, the radio lines fill up or the telephone lines fill up, and so don't miss out on your opportunity. Right now you can get through at 308-9564. We want you to know that this is area code 843, so if you happen to let people that are out of the country or out of this area know about the broadcast through the Internet, then you might want to let them know that it is area code 843. And so they can join us via the Internet by going to our website at www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com, and they should hit the live link button and be able to listen right over their computer. Now, if you have a smartphone or they have a smartphone, they can also download an app called TuneIn Radio and thus find the radio station, WJNI, in Charleston, South Carolina, and they can listen through their telephone. And so that would be an avenue as well. Let them know that it is area code 843. So the lines are now available, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We want everybody to know in the Goose Creek, North Charleston, Somerville area about an exciting meeting coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, that is the 18th and 19th of January, in Goose Creek. We're going to host a Let the Bible Speak, where if you're in this area, you can join us. You can come out, and we will be glad to meet face-to-face and ask your questions there in Goose Creek. Now, stay tuned for that. We're going to tell you more about that throughout today's program. But that is, mark your calendars, that is Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th from 7 till 9 p.m. And the address is at 105 Maryland Street. Now, the Maryland is Marilyn Street in Goose Creek, South Carolina. So make certain you mark your calendars and come out for this meeting. It's less than 2 weeks away, so we want you to be very well aware of this, and that you might be able to come out and join us. And we will answer your questions there on the spot, give you some information that will help you in your Bible studies. And again, all of this is absolutely free. So don't miss out on this opportunity coming up January the 18th and 19th in Goose Creek. And so that we're going to be contacting you if you have if we have your information on record. We're going to send you something in the mail and try to even touch base with you with a phone call to give you these details as well. But just in case you're a new listener, mark your calendars to come out January the 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday evening from 7 till 9 p.m. in Goose Creek. The address is 105 Maryland Street, Marilyn Street, and we would love to see you face-to-face. So for now, just go ahead and call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The number again, the voice line, is 308 9564. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283.
We have our first text question coming in with the last three digits, 597. It says, is the rapture pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib? I'm going to take that to mean tribulation. So is it pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation? Or is there no rapture to look forward to, but only the second coming? Well, very good question. I know that there are many out there that have the same question because they've probably heard this terminology concerning the rapture. And so as we try to just speak where the Bible speaks or let the Bible speak, I'll begin by saying that the word rapture is not in the Bible. I'll say that again. The word rapture is not in the Bible. And so, but I think I understand you to be referring to what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And so here you have Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica and addressing some concerns of the church there because there were some that had died. So some of the Christians there had died. And so he wanted them to be assured that everything was okay concerning those folks who had passed on. He says in verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now that phrase, that phraseology, fallen asleep, just carries with the idea they have passed away. He says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus dies and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So he talks about the return of Jesus, and when Jesus returned, he's going to bring with him those who died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That phrase, caught up, is translated, I think in Latin, is the idea of you find the word rapture. But that's where the people get a whole teaching around the rapture. That's the only place in the Bible that where we find kind of this language. And all he's talking about here is what's going to happen when Jesus returns. And the dead is going to rise first. And then those who are alive and remain will be caught up with him in the air. Well, where are they going to be? Is there going to be another coming of Jesus? Well, let's answer that question. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So here he's talking about the second coming of Jesus, and thus when it occurs, we will be those who are in Christ, those who have died in Christ, will be caught up together in the clouds, and they will always be with the Lord. The final part of the question, Revelation chapter 1, and verse 9 talks about pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. When John speaks in the book of Revelation, it seems to suggest that he was already in tribulation. So that tribulation had occurred. So in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, here's what John says. He says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Notice that he was in tribulation. Notice that he was in the kingdom. So the kingdom was not to come. It had came. And he was in it. And he says, and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. As I understand it, history teaches that John was in exile there at Patmos. So he was, in fact, in tribulation at that time, but still in the kingdom of God. And so this idea of a mid-tribulation to come and the idea of rapture as it's taught today, it does not exist within the pages of Scripture. I hope that's been helpful, but very good question. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. The choice is yours, the questions are yours, but the answers will be from God. That is, from His Word. We're going to let the Bible speak, and we do not apologize for that because you don't want to hear what we have to say, and we will get you nowhere. But if the answer comes from God, well, that very well may get you to heaven if you listen, believe it, and obey it. And thus, we want to let the Bible speak to all the questions that pertain to life and godliness. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Lutalo calling in this question, a couple of questions here. His first question is, Enoch, is there any other books that talk about him? As far as books of the Bible, that would be Genesis. He's mentioned in the genealogy in Luke chapter 3. He's listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And he's also mentioned in Jude, the seventh from Adam. Now, if you're meaning other books as far as secular writings, there is a book called the Book of Enoch that is an ancient literature, but it is not the book that he wrote by any means, because he was the seventh generation from Adam, and so obviously it is not from him. And so there is a book of that, but that is not scripture, and it's not even contained in the Apocrypha. It is my understanding. And then your second question is, the books Martin Luther took out of the Bible, why don't they consider these books as part of the Bible today? Well, first of all, the scriptures is what we're mainly concerned with. The word Bible is a man-made word, which means the book. And so the verse, the books that claim to be scripture is the first thing, first sign to look for. Does it claim to be the Word of God? And then when they put together the canon in the early part, early years of the church, that is the books that would be selected, the very first criteria they looked for was, does it claim to be scripture? Second of all, does it claim to quote God? In other words, the phrase, thus says the Lord. Now, as you look through the Bible, you'll see that all the way through. But now, these other books, they do not claim to be scripture, first of all. And second of all, they do not quote God that way. And so there are many other things that they look for to decide whether these were scripture or not. But that's a pretty good beginning right there, doesn't it? Isn't it? Because if it doesn't claim to be scripture, why would we, of all things, call it scripture? We could take a Tom and Jane book and say, oh, that must be scripture. Well, what right do we have to say that that would be scripture? And what right does any religious organization have to put a stamp of this is God breathed to any document that doesn't even claim to be scripture? Now, there are books out there that claim to be scripture that are not, and there are other keys in which we can share with you if you're interested. Go to our website at www.biblealone.com and download in the Bible materials a document you'll see there that is the scientific evidence of the Bible's inspiration. And so that will help you a lot. Go to our website at biblealone.com. I believe we have a live caller. Kevin, you're on the line. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm calling about a caller last week that had a question about Christians and owning guns, and his name was Jose. And you guys gave the scripture that said, if you live by the sword, then die by the sword. And I just want to touch base on that, just saying that if a Christian owns a gun for protection, they're not necessarily living by the sword. If someone breaks into your home or whatever, no matter how you defend yourself, you still defended yourself against that person, no matter how you did it. But a Christian is going to defend their home just like anyone else. And I wouldn't necessarily say that that's living by the sword, you know, as in someone who takes a gun and goes out and does live by the sword, using a gun for you know, evil means.
Okay.
And I just want to touch.
And your question is?
Well, I just want to touch base on that so that people don't get the understanding that just if you own a gun, then you're living by the sword.
No, that's certainly not true.
Yeah.
You know, we have a right in this country to do that. But now, probably Nick and I may disagree on how to use those weapons, because it is a matter of judgment. All we can do is look in the Bible and see how it applies and such. When it comes down to defending, I don't know that what I would do in a kind of situation. Would I defend myself? I probably would try my best, even unto death, to defend my family. But I would try not to harm the offender, whoever is doing it. I don't know.
That's
Nick,
right.
What's your take on it? Again, this is just judgment, so we're not going to spend much time
right.
on this at all.
And just kind of a couple of thoughts. One, you know, there are people that own weapons for hunting purposes. And so to say that owning a weapon would be wrong, I think that might be questionable. I don't think, and hopefully we didn't communicate that. It's just what we do with it. And I think maybe that was more in line with the answer we gave last week. what we do with it, and some of it will fall into the realm of a judgment. At the end of the day, we can never violate God's law, so we can't get into murder, which would be God's violation of God's law, those kinds of things. But some of those things will be open to judgment.
You know, and I'm looking at a officer of the law here at the studio helping us out here today, and he has the God-given right to take arms against those evildoers given in Romans chapter 13. And so certainly they have the right to do that, God-given. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, you'll see that there, that they bear not the sword in vain. So God, there is a place for that, and there must be law and order. And as you read in the Old Testament, you see God expected a lot of order among his people, and were a lot more strict than we probably have ever witnessed here in the United States. But good call, good question.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
It's time for us to take our break. We'll be right back. We do want you to be aware of the meeting coming up on the 18th and 19th, so mark your calendars for that. We'll give you more information on that after the break. But if you want the Bible Correspondence course that is free of charge, it will be very enlightening to you. You very well may learn things that you may have never seen before, maybe never heard taught from a pulpit. So don't miss out on that. Here's how to get that. Call the operator standing by. While we're at break, continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're so thankful that you are taking out your Sunday afternoon and staying awake and being able to be with us as we go to the Bible for the answers. That says something about your heart, that you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and we really appreciate that. And that's exactly the kind of heart that we're wanting to be able to find. And so make certain that you write down these dates. We would love to meet you face-to-face. That's January the 18th and 19th. That's not this coming Friday and Saturday, but the next in Goose Creek. And you can join us as we let the Bible speak there at 105 Maryland Street. It is just a half a block off of St. James, those of y'all that are familiar with Goose Creek. And so we would be glad to have you join us those evenings from 7 till 9 p.m., where we'll answer your questions, we'll give you Bible material, and have a short presentation to tell you some things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. So don't miss out on this opportunity. We would love to meet you face-to-face. That's 7 till 9 p.m., 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday, coming up less than 2 weeks away. That's at 105 Maryland Street. Mark your calendars. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call in right now. The lines are now available, which is kind of rare, so go ahead and call in your question to 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We also have a website that's available to you, www.biblealone.com, so you can go and you can download previously recorded broadcasts, or there are other materials that are available to you to increase your studies. If you want to have a deeper study on some of the subject matter that we talk about on the broadcast, you can take advantage of the material at the website. Again, that website is www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. Just stepping back to the previous call, we want to say how much we appreciate the call. We actually had a further discussion during the break, but and the one thing that we came back to is that we have to hold to the laws of the land as godly people, and we want those who have been authorized by God to be able to protect us. And the passage that was used earlier was in Romans, the 13th chapter. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so here we have, you know, at least God telling us that there are going to be governmental type authorities, and that we should be subjecting ourselves to those authorities. Now, those authorities don't have a right to violate his word or to encourage us to do wrong. We don't have to do wrong. But God put those types of authorities in place to protect us. verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And so those who would resist governing authority, God is saying you're resisting him. And those who will resist will bring judgment on themselves. He says in verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And so rulers and governments and authorities, they are put in place by God to stamp out, if you will, evil, to protect the good. And they're supposed to be there for the good. The Bible says, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And so if we live our lives in an upright manner, we try to do what's good, and according to this passage, then we don't have to be fearful of authority. And the authorities that are in place, like the police, et cetera, they will be in place to do those things that God intended. That is to protect us, provide a measure of protection. But again, we have to be in subjection to that. And they are at liberty to have those things necessary to protect us. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Cherie calling in this question, and she wants to know, Jehovah's Witnesses say that the kingdom of God didn't come until the last century. What does the Bible say? Cherie, that's a really good question, and these are several verses I would encourage everybody to write down, because it not only answers this question, but it also answers all the questions about premillennialism and the thousand-year reign, and those that believe in postmillennialism, and those that build into their theories about a second chance. We'll get a second chance. That would include all of those that believe in the Left Behind series of movies and books. And so write these verses down and study them, and you will be able to see how that all of those assumptions are in error. Here we go. We're starting in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Where Jesus said that, verily, verily, I say unto you, some of you that stand here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. That's Mark 9 and verse 1. Then the next book, Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 and 21, where Jesus was asked about the coming kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither will they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's Luke 17, 20 and 21. When Jesus was on trial, he was asked about himself being a king in his kingdom. Jesus responds in John 18 and verse 38, where he said, my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I wouldn't be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence. It's not of this physical that we understand. And so that's, again, Mark, Luke, and John going on now to the book of Colossians. After he said the kingdom was going to be set up there in the first century, that is, while some of them are alive. So either it occurred, like Jesus said it was going to occur, or there are some really old people on the earth that are a couple of thousand years old. One time I was talking to one group that believed in such, and I said, now, honestly, do you believe there's someone still alive? And they said, yeah, but they're hiding. Yeah, I heard somebody laugh. And so, yeah, that's right. How ridiculous can people get, and how absurd? And so what we have to do is just go by what God says and quit listening to man. Well, let's go further into what God says. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul, of course, God's using Paul to write this. He says about himself, he says, he, God, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, there is past tense. This has occurred. This was a done deal. Has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So Paul was in the kingdom. Huh. Well, if he was in the kingdom, he died during the first century. That means the kingdom is how old? Yeah, I agree. It has to be that old. It had to have been started in the first century. And the next passage is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. By the way, let me repeat Colossians 1:13. Now, those of you that are writing it down, I hope you are. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving, there It's present tense. Those of us that know anything about English, which I'm the least of, but it says we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So there they were receiving the kingdom. It was there. They were part of it. It was being received as he wrote that. And last, certainly but not least, is Revelation 1 and verse 9, the verse that Nick just read and emphasizing the tribulation there. The second part there was said, I, John, both a brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom. So John was in the kingdom. Paul was in the kingdom. Could it be that both the church and the kingdom are different ways to represent the same group of people? Chew on that a little while. Let's see what we come up with. But let it be the scripture we're chewing on. So, again, those verses, review them one more time, is Mark 9:1, Luke 17:20 and 21, John 18:36, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation 1:9. We sure do appreciate the question very much. Hopefully that has been helpful to many people. Thank you so much for your question, and thank you for listening. Well, the lines are still available. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Our answer, the operator standing by here is a little bored, so go ahead and give him your answer. 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is also available, 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we are anxiously awaiting your questions. We have some text questions here we're going to deal with, but the voice line is still available. 308-9564 is the number, 308-WJNI, and call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. You can have your question written down or brought in to us. The choice is yours, so don't hesitate to call in right now, 308-9564. We want everybody to be aware of the meeting coming up in Goose Creek. We're going to host a Let the Bible Speak live there at 105 Maryland Street. That is this coming the 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday night from 7 till 9 p.m. That'll be at 105 Maryland Street. That is with a L-Y-N. M-A-R-I-L-Y-N Street, and so make certain that you don't miss out on that. If you live in the Goose Creek area, North Charleston, the Somerville area, do not miss out on this meeting coming up in less than 2 weeks. The 18th and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m. at 105 Maryland Street. And we will let the Bible speak in person. We'd love to see you and meet you face to face. Number again is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. The lines Okay, we got all those calls coming in. Good. 308-9564.
We have a text question coming in. Last three digits is 113. The question says, should a spouse stay in a marriage if the other spouse does not want to work it out? If the spouse who does not want to work it out just wants them to be there for the other and support them. So very interesting question. And when we talk about marriage, we can only go one place. And I suspect that's why you text. You wanted us to go find out what the Bible has to say on this particular subject. And so we oftentimes use, you know, Matthew 19 to talk about the only reason for divorce is fornication. And that's still true. That's still going to be the case. The only reason the person can put away their spouse as if their spouse has committed fornication on them, and that's Matthew 19, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality. So if there's sexual immorality or fornication in the relationship, then the person can get divorced. But if there is no sexual immorality, then Jesus does not authorize divorce. And so it says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So to divorce my spouse for any other reason, if I go off and marry another, I'm guilty of adultery. And then there's another passage that we talk about, and that's in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
you have Paul addressing the subject of marriage. But he makes it clear this is not him speaking. He says in verse 10, now unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So that's 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So it says even if she chooses to depart, she has to remain unmarried or to get back together or reconcile with her husband. And then it goes on to say, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. It's God's intent that the husband and wife would stay together to death do you part. Those are the vows that oftentimes we take. And so using those passages, you have to kind of make your determination based upon what God says. I hope that's been helpful. And I know it's a tough situation. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have several questions coming in, and just keep them coming in. We will have plenty of time to get to them, and so don't hesitate to go ahead and call. If you call and the phone just keeps on ringing, go ahead and let it ring because that means we're talking to someone on the other line, and we'll get to you as quick as we can. So don't get weary in letting the phone ring. It'll eventually ring through, and we'll be able to get to you. That's 308-9564. Now, if you're calling the operator standing by for the Bible Correspondence Course, please, that if the phone is busy, we can only talk to one at a time. If the phone is busy, just hang up, wait a moment or two, and hit redial, and you'll get through there. That's the 553-5157 number. And that course that we send to you is absolutely free, so don't miss out on that. Okay, we have Timmy, it looks like, calling in this question. And their question, is it right for a Christian to drink wine? Is it right for a Christian to drink wine? Well, Timmy, I would direct you to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning with verse 3, it says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lust, and now the words are applicable to your question, drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Now he goes on to say, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so there it sure shows that we should not be partaking of anything that would be like those, such as drunkenness or revelries, which means the idea of a party of drinking, and then drinking parties actually has the idea of hanging with those that are drinking, in fellowship with those. And so those three attitudes are broken down there, and he says, well, that's just not something that we, that is saints, would partake of. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. We are happy to have your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. The questions are still coming in fast and furious, but don't get weary in your calling. Just go ahead and let it ring through. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Again, the number 308-9564, or the text line is 725-9283.
Sylvia calls in. She says that Jehovah Witness says there is no heaven or hell. Please explain. Well, Sylvia, I appreciate your question. I'm not so sure I can explain what the Jehovah Witness says, but what I can do is look into the Bible and see whether the Bible says anything about heaven and hell. And so I'm only going to grab one example from each because, believe it or not, the phrase heaven and hell is all throughout the Scriptures. But concerning heaven, that lets us know that there is a heaven, I call your attention over to Matthew, the 6th chapter. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he tells them to pray this way at verse 9, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Jesus says to them, our Father in heaven. And so that suggests that's where the Father is. He's in heaven. And so heaven is real. So there is a real place. So that's all I can say to that. And there's many other passages. If you're just looking for a lot of passages, we can offer a lot of passages on that. But I just want to point out that heaven is real. What about hell? Well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, about Jesus talking about a person being angry with their brother. He says that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, raka, or fool is the idea, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew 5, 29 talks about hell. Matthew 5, verse 30 talks about hell. And so that language is all throughout the scriptures. So there is a heaven and there is a hell. I'm not so sure how to explain the view of the Jehovah's Witness. My apologies for that. But if we're just letting the Bible speak, it does exist. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564.
We have another caller wanting to know what I said about the Jehovah's Witnesses' belief, and it was based upon the question. The question was that they believe that the kingdom was not set up until the beginning of last century. And every Jehovah's Witness would substantiate that, that they would say the kingdom was set up at the beginning 19-something-teen. I forget the exact number is, and it doesn't matter, because the kingdom of God was set up in the first century. Those verses again, and you'll have to be quick writing these down. Mark 9:1, Luke 17:20-21, John 18:36, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation 1 and verse 9. And so 1836. And so that was John 18:36. And so those are the verses that we went over to show that the kingdom of God was set up in the first century. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you. Thank you for your question. And we are happy to be able to answer these questions as they come in. So just go ahead and keep on coming, getting them coming in, and we will go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. And, yes, 1836. I was just checking on that. All right. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question. The last three digits is 562. 562 says, does God answer all our prayers every time we pray to him? And a lot of that is dependent upon whether or not that prayer is according to his will. And it really sometimes has to do with the person who's praying. You know, God made a promise to answer the prayers of those that are obedient to him or followers of him. So that's one criteria. But to your question, not every prayer is answered the way we might think it should be answered. We have Jesus in Matthew, the 26th chapter, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his prayer is for the Father to let this cup pass away from me. And so it's picking up somewhere around verse 42. But he says, yet not my will, but thy will be done. And so here you have Jesus praying that the cup passed from him, but that cup did not pass from him. And so just because I'm praying for something, the answer, yes, God always answers, but the answer sometimes may not be the answer we're looking for. We also have Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7 in the following text, talking about the thorn that he had in the flesh, so verses 7 through about, I don't know, 10, 11, and he prayed to God three times. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And so he got an answer, but it wasn't the answer that he was looking for. Sometimes God says yes. And then sometimes God says no. And then sometimes God says wait. And then sometimes God says, not right now. And so we just have to wait on the Lord and trust him. I sure hope that's been helpful. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 also brings out, my ways are not your ways. And so I talked about earlier was concerning the prayers that just because I'm praying, God may not answer my prayer if I'm not in the right relationship with him. If there's sin in my life, in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, God says, my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor my ears not dull of hearing that I cannot hear, but your sin has separated you from God. Your iniquity has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And so my sin, my wickedness can prevent God from hearing as well. Ricky pointed that scripture out to me, and so we want to share that as well. Very good point. So if God is not hearing my prayer, it may be because of the life that I'm living as well. So I hope that's been helpful. 308-9564 is the number to call. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us your question at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We want to let everybody know about the meeting coming up in less than a week away at the in Goose Creek. And we're going to have a Let the Bible Speak meeting there in Goose Creek. We're going to, that way we can meet face-to-face. If you will mark your calendars and come out Friday and Saturday night, the 18th and 19th, from 7 till 9 p.m., either or both times, we would be glad to meet you. And we'll show our appreciation to you by giving you a packet of information and information that will help you in your Bible studies and answer your questions that you know, maybe have been hesitant to call in to the radio program here. We would love to meet you face-to-face. And that place is 105 Maryland Street, 105 Maryland Street, and that's Marilyn. Those of you that will use GPS to get there, that's the way to spell it, Marilyn, 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. And that's coming up a week from this Friday night, the 18th and 19th, from 7 till 9 p.m. So please mark your calendars for that. Those of you that have never received the correspondence course, this is the only way that we have to communicate with you. And those of you that have already received the course, we're going to send you something in the mail to invite you, and hopefully you'll be able to get that in a timely fashion, and you can come out. We'll even have a map on the back of the letter, so you can get there pretty easy. So please don't miss out on this. If you would like to have the correspondence course, now's the chance to enroll in that. Here's the information on it, and you will learn things from God's Word that you may have never seen before. And, you know, I think we ought to figure out what it is that God expects before we meet Him face to face. We're going to meet Him. So let's study and find those things now while we can make correction to our path, while we have the freedom to do that. So here's the information on that. Don't hesitate to get the course in the mail to you. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that is available to you. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. We will get that course out to you in the mail. And so we want to encourage you, if you have not signed up for it, it's a Bible study in your home that you can do at your own pace. Go ahead and take advantage of it, especially as the new year has begun. Again, that number is 553-5157.
We have Nolan texting in this question. Nolan, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for being with us as we go to the Bible for the answers. We are so appreciative of your desire to know the truth, and it's evident by your question. So thank you. His last question is, how does God send you help when in times of trouble? And so, very good question. And there's a lot of that has been asked many times throughout the Bible, and God has never let anyone down. Well, first, to substantiate what you just said, I would encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 13, where it just brings out, if we're one of God's children and we're serving Him, it says, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And so that is Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Let me go back to verse 5. It says, let your conduct or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, and that's when it quotes the psalm, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. Now, many of the troubles, Nolan, that we do have to go through are self-inflicted. For example, as the context there in Hebrews 13 brings out, that was a where someone was covetous. They were full of wanting more in this life and not being content with the things that they have. And thus, that was creating undue stress and problems upon them. And we live in a country that is this epidemic of that, to where that we choose not to live within our means. We want to live beyond our means. How many of you, for example, live paycheck to paycheck? And if all of a sudden you missed a paycheck, it would be disastrous. Well, God never intended for us to live that way. He wants us to be wise concerning these things that He blesses us with, and He wants us to not put ourselves into slavery. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7 brings out that the borrower is slave to the lender, and so we cannot live that way, because that makes us a slave. He wants us to not only be free from sin, But he also wants us to not make ourselves a physical slave, because we cannot control our appetites, whether for things or for food, that we cannot control our appetites and live and be thankful for what we have. And so the Lord expects us to be content and be content with things that we have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way to the end of the chapter, talk about the proper attitude that we should have toward things and money and such as that. So that certainly is part of it. But the truth of the matter is, we need to make certain that we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, then we can rest in the Lord. Now, how do we get into Christ? Well, most churches, you might be surprised about what I'm about to say, most churches of the land leave people still outside Christ, because many churches teach that it's just a matter of belief, but the devil believes. Most churches say that it's just a matter of accepting Jesus into your heart and receiving his salvation. There is no verse that says that. What the Bible says, starting with Acts chapter 2, clearly shows that the way that people get into Christ is through a process of not only belief, but of repentance and confession, and then baptized. They are baptized into his death, baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, to be saved, 1 Peter 3:21, to have their sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. We could go on. There's many others. And most churches do not teach that. That is so wrong, to get people to think that they are right in God's eyes and to leave them still in their sin. Now, I submit to you one example that is so vivid in this, and that is the conversion of the apostle, Paul, the apostle. He believed in God, served God with a clear conscience, Acts 23 and verse 1. Yet, when face-to-face with Christ and pointed out that he was actually going against what God wanted, he fasted and prayed for 3 days, wouldn't eat or drink, until finally Ananias came and told him what he needed to do. He already showed his belief. He showed his repentance. He met the Lord face to face. So what was needed? After 3 days of praying and fasting, what was needed? Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias told him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." It's that simple, my friend. How can people not see that? Well, there are many preachers that go to seminary schools, and there they tear down every bit of those verses that we just went over. Regardless of what man says and what man teaches, every one of us must give an account to God based upon what God says. So that right there will help you in those valleys of darkness. We need to be in Christ, and we need to be in Christ as God says, get in Christ, so that we will be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a text coming in. Last three digits is 597. The text question is, in Genesis chapter 6, and verse 3, is God saying man's lifespan will be reduced to 120 years, or is he speaking of 120 years left before he floods the earth? And so we appreciate the text question, and we do appreciate all of those who text in their questions and call in their questions. It's a big help to us, but also to those who are listening. In Genesis, the 6th chapter and verse 3, as I understand what's being referred to here, I think it's making reference to, and I'm fairly sure he's making reference to, the time prior to the flood. In verse 3 it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, the reason why I don't believe he's making reference to the life of man, because if we go to the 9th chapter, in the 9th chapter, we find out towards verse 28 that Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And so I think the 120 years is just making reference to the time prior to the flood. And so Noah would preach as a preacher of righteousness for a period of 120 years. And then also you have Psalms, the 90th chapter, in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10,
where it talks about the days of our lives, if you will. But the Bible says the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. And so some of your translation may say three score and ten. And so that's the idea. A score is 20 years. And so here you have a time limit set on our life after the flood in the book of Psalms. And so that's somewhere around 80 years or so. I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, looking at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, I think the 120 years there is making reference to prior to the flood, coming. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564.
We want to let everybody remind everybody about the meeting coming up in a couple of weeks, the Friday the 18th and 19th, Saturday from 7 till 9 p.m., we have a gospel meeting, or Let the Bible Speak meeting in Goose Creek. So if you live in the North Charleston, Hanahan, Somerville area, and especially Goose Creek, do not miss out on this. We want to meet you face-to-face, and we will answer your questions there on the spot that evening. So don't miss out on this. This is coming up the 18th, which is less than 2 weeks away, and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m. The address, write this down, 105 Maryland Street, and that's Maryln Street. And it's on the GPS. You'll be able to find it pretty easy if you have a GPS, or if not, it's one block off the intersection from Highway 52 and 176 crossing. We're Red Bank and St. James Cross Highway 52. So it's just very easy to find. 105 Maryland Street, and we look forward to meeting you there. Again, that's the 18th and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m., and we will look forward to meeting you face-to-face. Can we squeeze in one more question before the break?
I think so.
Okay.
We have Tanya calling in. She says, if one day is a thousand years to the Lord, how long did it take for God to create the world? 7 days or 7,000 years in Genesis chapter 1. And I think if you understand the way the Bible is using that language, a year being like a day to the Lord, and a thousand years being like a day, then you'll get the impression that it's not saying that God actually uses time like that, but rather that time does not have any impact on the promises of God. And in Second Peter chapter 3, if you read that text in its entirety, what you'll find in verse 3, he's talking about scoffers coming in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So the question is about the promise of the coming of the Messiah. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so they're saying, where is his coming? Where is his coming? And this is the idea of Jesus returned. And so then he says in verse 5, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in water. I'm talking about the flood by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. That they forget that God flooded the world. They forget that God did bring about his promise, no matter how much time lapsed. In verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now present by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment. So judgment is coming. This is the point. And verse 8, he says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The idea as it pertains to the promise of God. God's promise is going to come, whether it takes a day or whether it takes a thousand years. God can make a promise. He made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. And then again in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17 and 18, it says, in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that didn't happen until thousands of years later. In Christ Jesus, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, and it tells us very clearly that when God made that promise to Abraham, he was talking about Christ. So the context is that time does not have any bearing on the promises of God. They didn't take God 7,000 years to create the earth. It says 7 days there. We have to take it at face value. Whenever God says, whatever he says. But don't look at that passage as a means to determine that God sees a day as a thousand years. Because that passage is just showing how that time has no bearing on the promises of God. I hope that's been helpful to you. I try to get that in. It's time for us to take a break. Even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to keep calling in and to text in your questions. The number to call is 308-9564. That's the number, the voice line to call in, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We're back live now. We don't want you to know that we are honored that you are listening and that you are looking for God, and you've come to the right place. No, not the not this program, but you are looking in God's Word to find the answer, or else you wouldn't be listening to Let the Bible Speak. And so we are so thrilled to see your interest and your desire to seek after what God wants for you and for all of us to be able to show ourselves approved unto God. We want to remind you, we want to meet you face-to-face if that's possible. That is next weekend, the 18th and 19th, at 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. We're going to have a Let the Bible Speak Live there, and we want you to come out and join us. That is the 18th and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m. at 105 Maryland Street. So don't miss out on this opportunity, and we are thrilled to be able to offer this, and it will obviously be free of charge. No collections or offerings will be asked or taken up in any form or fashion. It is our honor to give you the treasure that only God, the Creator, can give you through His Word. And so please don't miss out on this. Again, one more time, that's next weekend, the 18th and 19th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at 105 Maryland Street.
We have a text caller in, coming in with a text question. The last three digits is 597. But before I read this question, let me remind our listeners to call in your questions right now to 308-9564, 308-9564. Our operator is standing here, and I can tell that he is waiting, anxiously waiting for your calls and for your questions. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. If you call right now, you have a good chance of being first in line. 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text your question in to 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have Jacqueline calling in this, or Jocelyn. I'm sorry if I messed your name up. I'm sure I did, so I apologize. But their question is, what is Christ's last name? And as I looked at that, I thought, well, Omega. That is, he's the Alpha and Omega. And then I thought, well, the beginning and the end. And then, you know, just to be serious, all the names of Christ, which come out to about 100, are very important. They're all meaningful, every one of them. And so there's not a priority in name, nor is there a time in his names. They're all important. And so there's many names that are given throughout the scriptures for Christ, for the Holy Spirit, and for God. And so all of them have meaning. And so there's no way to answer that question and place one name above another. But thank you for your question very, very much. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number 308-9564.
I just want to add a little tidbit to that. You know, sometimes you hear people say Jesus Christ. And so who says, well, Jesus' last name is Christ.
Yeah.
And Christ really is just a descriptor of who Jesus is. The word Christ means the anointed one. And the
Messiah.
The Messiah is the Hebrew, and Christ is the Greek, and both of those means he's the anointed one. So it's a descriptor of who he is. Just a little extra tidbit. 308-9564 is the number to call. Go ahead and call right now. 308-9564. Going back to that text question, the last three digits is 597. Our text caller or texter says, some use 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 to say that speaking in tongues ceased after the early church, and was only used to witness to those who were not of the first disciples, you know, native tongue, and is not a heavenly language, and is not appropriate today. Is this true? Well, let's find out what the Bible says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to start there just by way of context. What you find is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 is just talking about the miraculous gifts. There were problems there at the church at Corinth. In chapter 12, he legislates on where all the gifts come from. In chapter 13, then, he talks about love. But again, he's saying you can have all the gifts in the world, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. And that's really the point, because by contrast to the miraculous gifts, things like speaking in tongues, love was not going to fail. Now, do we know that for sure? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, he says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will
fail. Where there are tongues, he says, they will cease. They will stop. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And so the miraculous works, things like revelation and tongues and those kinds of things, those things were going to come to an end according to what Paul writes here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 9, for we know in part. So they had partial revelation. They had a partial knowledge. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Even when they were prophesizing, they only had partial revelation. He says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect or complete has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. He says when complete revelation comes, the partial, that which is in part, shall be done away with. And we know when he says when that which is perfect is come, that he's talking about complete, because he's talking, that's what that word means. In fact, that the Greek word here carries with it the idea of that which comes to completeness. You see, they only have partial revelation in the infancy stages of the church. They didn't have the Bible like you and I have. They were those who were inspired of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit was given to them as they spoke the Word of God, not only just to speak it, but they wrote it down so that when we read, we might have an understanding of their knowledge into the mystery. But once it was completely written down, it was complete. It was perfect. And so we have, in the form of the Bible, completed revelation. When completed revelation was given, there was no longer a need for the partial revelation, things like prophecies, things like tongues. Now, to the second part of your question, and I'll keep this real brief, you said that the tongues, that some people teach that the tongues were not supposed to be used in the church, something to that effect. I cannot remember exactly. But I think it was to the fact that the tongues were not to be used in the church. And really, it was supposed to be for an example to non-believers. And that comes out in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. He says, therefore, tongues are not for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. So this was, the tongues were not something that were going to be used in the church for believers, but he says it was a sign for unbelievers. He says, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, they will say, he says, will they not say that you are out of your mind? At least when King James translates it. So the idea is if someone comes into the group and everybody's in there speaking in a language that he can't understand, well, this person is going to say you're out of your mind. There was a purpose behind these gifts, behind the prophecies, behind the speaking in tongues. And the speaking in tongues, he says, was for the unbeliever. Prophecy was for the believer. And again, looking back at chapter 13, this was only going to be in place for a certain and limited period of time. But once completed revelation came, those partial gifts, that partial revelation, was going to be done away with. Very good question. I wish we had more time. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have two questions similar to one another. I'm going to combine these together. We have Ben calling in this question. Being a babe in Christ, how do I grow in the knowledge of Christ? And a text question that came in says, what is true spirituality? Let the Bible speak. Well, I hopefully that's exactly what we will do. And thank you for your question, and thank you, Ben, for your question as well. It has to deal with growth. Well, first of all, the word spirituality is not in the Bible, just to put that behind us. The word spirituality is not a biblical word. Now, the word spiritual is the Spirit. Of course, the Bible is filled with the Spirit. And thus, we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue. Through that knowledge, so there we see that through the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. And so this growth will occur by the learning the Word of God and applying it to our lives. And so it equips us to every good work. So we've got to apply God's Word. One other passage is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, gives a list. A lot of times people like lists. And so here's one one example. Excuse me, I'm wrong. Wrong book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. It gives a list of attributes that will enable us to grow like we should. Right after the verse 3 we read just a minute ago, it picks up with verse 5 and says, "And also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, temperance, self-control, that is, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love." And so those several things mentioned there. And it says, "And if these things be in you and abound," so the word abound is like you push the accelerator pedal, you keep getting faster and faster. That's what's meant there. "If these things be in you and you are accelerating in them, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." You never fall, the old King James says. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, you will find your answer, Ben, and the caller with the last digits of 113. Thank you for your questions very, very much. That is how we can grow in the Lord to his glory and that we might be able to serve him. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Okay, we can squeeze one more in before the break.
Well, yeah, just have a quick question that comes in. It says, married to the same man twice, can I divorce again for any other reason besides adultery? If you take and note Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, you'll find that there's only one reason for divorce, according to the Scripture, and that is if your spouse has committed adultery. That's the only reason that we find in the page of Scripture. It is time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Again, that number is 308-9564.
We want to also remind you that there is a meeting coming up this coming weekend, the 18th and 19th. It's about 10 days from now, so don't miss out on this. Let's see, actually, how many days? 12 days from now. 12 days from now, go ahead and mark it on your calendar, the 18th and 19th, that from 7 till 9, we're going to have a Let the Bible Speak meeting in Goose Creek. So if you live in that area, please don't miss out on this. It will be held at 105 Maryland Street, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N. That's the 18th and 19th of Friday and Saturday night from 7 till 9. Come early so you can get a place. Seating will be sparse, so don't miss out on this. And come early and you'll get some of the best seats. 105 Maryland Street, the 18th and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m. Now, to get the Bible Correspondence Course, which is free, if you've never enrolled in this, you're missing out on a blessing from God himself, because you're going to be in the Bible studying, and you will be able to learn things that you may have never seen before. Yes, that's exactly what I said. There may be things that are vital to go to heaven that you may have never seen before. So don't miss out on this. Here's the information on how to get that course. We'll be right back. We are live again, and this is our last segment, so don't miss out with your question. We've got three here on deck, and we might be able to squeeze in another one. If by chance we don't get to your question, we will start next week's broadcast with your question. But go ahead and call anyway, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a text question coming in, the last three digits, 900. Says, can you be baptized more than once if you were baptized as a child and didn't really understand your relationship with Christ until later in life? So you be baptized again, giving yourself by the will, your will, and not of your parents. Also, must you go down in the water? So very good question for us. And when we look in the Bible and we look at the role that baptism had, you'll find that there's usually a requirement. So Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So one of the requirements there, at least, is a belief is necessary before a person is baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible shows us that these folks were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so there you have repentance being required prior to being a person being baptized. And so oftentimes a baby or a child cannot know, they don't believe that in the idea of believing, they have to believe the gospel message about Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection and how he came and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And that person must understand that they are in sin. And so there are many children, babies that were dunked in water, poured water, people poured water on their heads, sprinkled water on, and all they got was wet. You just don't find that as a matter of practice in the scriptures. And what you do find is that there is a requirement that the person believes, the person repents. In Acts the 8th chapter, we see confession was part of God's plan, a confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. A baby can't do that. And so a person has to have their own faith, and by their own will, as you suggest in the text question, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they first have to learn it. And so I would say to you that if you're thinking about being baptized again for the right reason, you know, look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, which tells us what baptism is. You ask whether or not I have to go down into the water. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it lets us know that baptism is a burial. And that if you continue reading on to verse 7, that a person unites with Christ in baptism. And that a person dies in baptism. And so if you have questions about this, we want to encourage you to call the operator standing by right now at 553-5157. Let her take down your information, and we will call you after the broadcast and talk to you further about what the Bible describes as being required in order for a person to be baptized. Very good question, but clearly, yes, it would be appropriate for a person to be baptized again if they were not baptized the first time appropriately, if they didn't do it by their will. It has to be their will, their choice, and they have to understand truth. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They have to hear the word of God. They have to hear God's plan of salvation. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That operator standing by number again. If you want to call and learn what you have to do in order to be baptized into Christ, is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. You let the operator know that you're interested in knowing further what must I do in order to be baptized in Christ, baptized the way they were when the church was established.
We are quickly running out of time, so please join us with the question. And please be mindful of marking your calendar. Those of you that have just tuned in, the 18th and 19th of this month, we're going to have a Let the Bible Speak in Goose Creek area. And so please join us on Friday and Saturday, the 18th and 19th at 105 Maryland Street, and you might come early in order to get a good seat. That will be the 18th and 19th at 105 Maryland Street from 7 till 9. And Maryland is Marilyn, and thus you're able to find it through the GPS if that is your way. Those of y'all that are already on our Bible Correspondence course, we'll send you something in the mail if you live in that area. And so you can be looking for that coming up. But, again, that's like 12, 13 days away, so don't miss out on this. And we look forward to meeting you face-to-face. That's Friday, the 18th and 19th at 105 Maryland Street from 7 till 9 p.m. in Goose Creek. So join us as we let the Bible speak there. We have Robert calling in this question. He says, is there anyone in the Bible that God took years from their life because of a sin, and then because of mercy gave them back to them? Well, the first thing that came to my mind was Hezekiah, the king, and how that he, and I'm going to have to do more thinking about this and studying on it, and if I come up with something else next week, I will mention it on the radio program. But the first thing that came to mind was how that Hezekiah was told to, in Isaiah 38 to set his house in order, and that he was going to die. And the prophet Isaiah told him that. And before Isaiah left the palace, he had already prayed. And the Lord said, okay, I've seen your tears. I will add to your days 15 years. And then, not long after that, there was an ambassador group that came from Babylon. And he acted foolishly and showed all the treasures. And so I'm not certain about the timeline, if in fact one came before the other, but regardless is I don't know about that. But there he, God gave him back 15 years and told him that he would not die quickly. And so there's a case on that. But I'll consider I'll look at this some more this week, and if I come up with more, I will bring it out next week. But that's a good question, Robert. We appreciate it very, very much. The number 308-9564. We've got about 3 minutes, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. I've just been told we have 5 minutes, so you can get your question in. Go ahead right now as we let the Bible speak.
We have Steve calling in. Steve says, and I think this is more of a follow-up question. We have 4 minutes, okay. Abraham wasn't baptized. Where is he now? Well, the Bible never shows where God required Abraham to be baptized. For that matter, he didn't require Noah to be baptized. Didn't require Rebecca to be baptized. He didn't require, you see where I'm headed. You see, but they did do what God says. You find in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that Abraham obeyed God. And so that's the driver or the motivation, is to do what God tells us to do. Does he tell us to be baptized? Well, if you take a note in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, that word, put on Christ, that phrase means to be clothed with Christ. Verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." The Bible says we're baptized in Christ, we're all one in Christ. Now, notice what it says in verse 29. We have 3 minutes left. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So while it was not required for Abraham, it is required for those who would be Christ, and thus become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then you say, why would chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians come after 13 if tongues is not supposed to be used in 1 Corinthians? Well, if I said that tongues were not supposed to be used in 1 Corinthians, I was wrong. According to 1 Corinthians, what you find in verse 14, you have Paul legislating on how they were to use tongues. But he lets them know that tongues were not for the believer, it was for the unbeliever. It was assigned to the unbeliever. And I think I read that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, verse 23. And then also, you find more legislation on the tongues. When I say legislation, he's just giving rules on how it was supposed to be used among the people. But he lets them know in chapter 13 that it was going to come to an end. He lets them know in chapter 12 that not everybody had it. So it was not something that was going to be for everybody. It was going to come to an end. And thus it had a purpose.
And, you know, in Acts 2, it talks about those tongues being languages that people understood, even in the dialect associated with that. And so what we see practiced today is not what was being practiced back then. And so we're run out of our time. We've run out of time for today's broadcast. We want you to be aware of that we are honored that you tune in and that you listen and that you study with us, because the Bible is the final word, and thus we're going to let the Bible speak. We want you to be aware of, we're going to have a gospel meeting, and that will be in Goose Creek, and that will be a Let the Bible Speak meeting coming up in Goose Creek, January the 18th and 19th from 7 till 9 p.m., and we want you to come out and join us at 105 Maryland Street, 105 Maryland Street, and we would be honored to have you join us as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. So don't miss out on this opportunity. We would be thrilled to be able to meet you face to face. We know that you desire the true happiness and joy and fulfillment in this life, and it will not come by seeking after the things that are physical or money or position or anything like that. It will only come by seeking after God's will. And we have an obedient spirit to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving Him to the point to where that we're willing to do what He says no matter what. Learning to be content with such things as we have is part of that. But the answers, please know, will not come from church doctrine or preachers or even from two fellows on the radio. It will only come from God's Word. It won't come from your pastor or family. It'll only come from the Word of God. My friend, all those answers will only come if you let the Bible speak.